Shed.com podcast for August 31st, 2005, and this is Andy Hunt. Chad Fowler's new book, My Job Went to India and All I Got Was This Lousy Book, is attracting a lot of attention, and for good reason. While it's based on Chad's experiences leading an offshoring operation in Bangalore, India, the book focuses on what you need to do to advance your career in the face of many challenges to our industry. I'd like to read you a short excerpt from Chad's introduction. The following excerpt is copyright 2005 Chad Fowler, published by the Pragmatic Bookshelf and reproduced here with permission. I awoke to an odd smell. "Where am I?" I asked. Aloud, I think. I was in Bangalore, India's Garden City. That odd smell was the remarkably foreign combination of pollution, ultra-spicy food from the hotel's kitchen, and something else I could never quite put my finger on. It was my first morning there, and I was late for work. I didn't feel bad about that, considering the hellish 32-hour journey I had suffered to get there, and that my India-savvy co-worker tricked me into an all-night cultural immersion in the world's scariest hotel after getting off the plane in Bombay the night before. After coming to, I felt a panic, realizing that my driver must have been waiting downstairs for an hour. "Oh God, he'll be angry," I thought, as I scrambled to get ready for the first in a series of all-day interviewing sessions. That's just what I need on my first morning in a place like this, an angry taxi driver. I rushed downstairs, resisting the fabulous aroma of a South Indian breakfast, and ran out to ask the doorman to page my driver. I asked if the driver had been there long. He had 2 hours. Ugh. I spent the first 5 minutes in the car with Joseph, apologizing profusely over being late and making him wait. He laughed dismissively. "This is my job. I wait all day." And as I found out later, he really did. He didn't just drop me off at work and come back at a fixed time. He waited at the office until the very minute I was ready to go. Without warning, at any time, I could come down from the office and expect to hop into the car and be driven away. My first exposure to India in daylight was that drive across town from the northwestern corner of Bangalore to the southwestern corner. The culture shock started to hit me. Bangalore is known as India's Silicon Valley. Being from a small city back home, it was exciting to realize I had come to a technical mecca. More surprising, though, were the extreme contrasts between high-tech and low-tech. I saw half-naked children playing in the dirt in front of a huge Yahoo sign. I saw a rickshaw with a Novell advertisement on the back, and another with what looked like a Sun Solaris CD dangling from the rearview mirror as an ornament. We drove past beautiful, state-of-the-art office buildings filled with the employees of some of the Western world's most innovative companies. We dodged buffalo in the street and begrudgingly yielded to rickety bicycles and full families on single mopeds. We passed by fields containing huts made from twigs, mud, tarps, and assorted garbage. We drove through crowds of well-dressed young people drinking coffee outside their office buildings before the start of the day, only to drive a little farther to be propositioned by lepers begging at a traffic light. So even before I reached the office on my first day, my perspective had changed. This was a world of great extremes. These foreign voices I had heard through scratchy, unreliable phone connections, attached to the brains whose code I'd been ruthlessly reviewing, lived here? These are the people who are allegedly stealing our jobs? I had come to India in the first stage of the setting up of a new software development center for my company. My job was to interview and select about 25 people who would form the seed team of a development shop that would eventually house 250 people. More precisely, my job was to reject more than 200 people. We had advertised our open jobs and received nearly 30,000 applications. We hired outside firms to help us whittle the 30,000 down to a more manageable number, and then used our own U.S.-based employees to further work that number down to a short list of a couple hundred that we could interview in person. I was to be our interview panel's executioner, sniffing out the week and finishing them off quickly and, I hoped, painlessly. While in India, I visited the hotel conference rooms of three different cities and met hundreds of people. I probably took a secret pleasure from the fact that I was going to go over and stop all these people from getting through the system and stealing our jobs. It was post-boom time. By that, I mean the dot-com bubble had burst. The IT sector's lifestyle had gone from rock and roll to Holiday Inn lounge act, and it was showing in India as well. In fact, what I found was not an army of people plotting to steal our comforts for themselves. Unlike their counterparts in the West, these people weren't angry that they had to get a small television set, or even that they might not be able to afford this month's cable TV bill. These were sons and daughters who were scraping by, trying to raise money to support their parents and their spouses' parents. These were mothers and fathers whose IT jobs meant the difference between really educating their children or sending them to a school from which the further educational options had a hard limit. They weren't trying to steal the American dream. They were trying to squeeze a once dry economy for a few drops of life-giving cash flow. Ultimately, I was an executioner very much fit for the task. No physical injuries resulted, but many interviewees left with bruised egos. What I left with was a changed perspective. Things had changed, and a vibrant society of highly motivated and intelligent people existed here. And they weren't playing for amenities. They were competing for the survival of their families. You can't underestimate or blame someone with that kind of motivation. That's how Chad's book begins, and believe me, it just gets better as it goes along. For more information and printed excerpts from this book, please visit us at www.pragmaticbookshelf.com. This is Andy Hunt. Thanks for listening.